Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
With the 8th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr.
Well, there it is.
Wow. Washington. Wild.
That is the first surprise of the NFL Draft, to say the least. The fourth quarterback off the board is Michael Penix Jr. He is a top 10 selection, and he is going to the place that just made a very expensive investment in a veteran quarterback, and it's kind of wild.
It is kind of wild. It's also kind of wild that it's been a year since that Michael Penix Jr. Selection, man. It's crazy to think back on that. It's the morning shift. Mike Johnson, Squid Billy, Bo Morgan got the NFL draft extravaganza here on the morning shift. Nobody, no duo in the city of Atlanta knows this team better than myself and Squid Billy. I promise you that. So make sure you stay glued throughout the show for more NFL draft coverage. But Bo, you were in Mercedes-Benz Stadium last year for the draft party. You'll be back there again tonight. I want to remind everybody the NFL draft is coming, and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home of the most complete draft coverage in Atlanta. Join us starting Thursday at 7 p.m. It's Mike Conti, Wes Durham, Dave Archer take you through the first round of the draft live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and stay with us all weekend long for pick-by-pick coverage and late-night wrap-up shows. It's all brought to you by your local Honda dealers and by Window Nation. Buy four windows, get four free. The NFL draft starting Thursday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You were down there last year, man. You've told me many stories about the reaction inside of that building.
Yeah, and it's amazing how history is looking. 1 year later, how history looks back on that draft pick.
Wild.
And it's changed drastically. I mean, drastically, the you know, how – and we said this. They're either going to look – you know, in a couple of years, they'll be fired for one of the dumbest decisions in the history of sports, or heralded for having, you know, foresight into the future of what it could be. And right now, it's definitely the latter is what is viewing. And, you know, that's how they're going to be viewed. So.
Yeah. We are gonna get to that Kirk Cousins conversation here in just a little bit. Terry Fontenot was asked yesterday about the possibility that he gets traded tonight or tomorrow or whatever it is during the NFL draft. There is the feeling though, Bo, and I'm glad you brought this up, because Terry Fontenot, when it's all said and done, the Michael Penix pick will be how you judge Terry Fontenot as a general manager. But there is the feeling like if you don't get it right tonight or tomorrow, and even Saturday to an extent, that there is a feeling that Terry Fontenot might not even see the end result of the Michael Penix pick. I'm the scale for Terry Fontenot for me on 1 to 10 on how much pressure is on him. I'm at like a 9 as far as him knocking a home run out of the park tonight and finding a Pro Bowl caliber player.
Yeah, I disagree that the Michael Penix pick will be how he's judged as ultimately as a GM. I think to your point, and kind of what you said about what you feel the pressure is on him. To me, if we end the 2025 regular season, which will be in January of next year, and we're on the outside looking in again, he'll be judged as a GM that had 4 first-round picks in the top 10 and could never was able to basically clear house as far as the salary cap and start completely over and go spend money, have four picks in the top 10 out of 5 years and never reach the playoffs. I think that's what he'll be remembered for, not the fact that he signed a quarterback and drafted another one and that quarterback happened to work out in the top 10. I just think it'll be the inability to reach the playoffs to me.
I think we're talking about the same thing. I think you can put a, you know, tortilla around that, and make that into a burrito, man. I think we're all in the same thing right here. You're talking about missing or hitting on picks. And again, Michael Penix was a gamble. It is what it is. You look back now and you thank God. Still doesn't mean that it was the right situation to sign Kirk Cousins. It still doesn't mean that, you know, you made all the right things up until then when you look back on Kyle Pitts. But if you missed the playoffs, to your point, it's probably because you missed on whatever edge rusher or whoever else you wanted to bring in this draft.
Yeah, and there was some stuff that came out the other day, and I'm not going to go down this road about, you know, Marcus Mariota was on the podcast and talking about Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot. I go back and look, and I think ultimately Terry Fontenot was hamstrung by the Arthur Smith head coaching decision, and that being the first head coach, because I think Arthur Smith had a lot of say in Kyle Pitts. I think he had a lot of say in Drake London and Bijan Robinson, and now two of those three have been phenomenal picks for this team so far, and they have absolutely panned out. But I just feel like some of the moves that this team made was literally, you know, the head coach had a lot of say in those, and I'm not sure if Terry Fontenot did everything he wanted to do, and it kind of hampered him. But because Terry has made some really good moves with this team in free agency, he's made some good moves picking guys up.
Yeah,
I love the Matthew Bergeron draft pick in the second round. I like Arnold Ebiketie. I think Ebiketie's been pretty good for a second round guy, but there's been other holes on the team that you haven't addressed that have hurt the development of some of those players.
Yeah, the signing of Jesse Bates. There's a number of good decisions. There, you know, look, there is a question of development. I don't think necessarily goes into Terry Fontenot's category. Goes in, to me, that's a coaching thing. If you're not developing some of those middle round picks, and you develop Drew Dolman, that's pretty much been it as far as the middle round picks go. When you talk about actually being able to make them into high caliber NFL players, you expect the first rounders to do that. You don't know what's going to happen with the middle round guys, but you always hope you can develop them. Hasn't happened at a very high level, nonetheless. So a lot of things for Terry Fontenot to answer tonight. Now, one question he was asked that I want to get to with Bo, he was asked, and we said this yesterday, the best possible scenario is trading back and getting an extra pick. Terry Fontenot at the presser yesterday asked about this very situation.
It always sounds good, and we're obviously going to look at it. We're going to make the right decision for the team, but you have to have a willing partner. Sometimes someone will say, well, just trade down here and do this. Well, is somebody going to trade? You know, and that's going to depend on what's still on the board at that time. So what we have to do is when we're on the clock, we have to look at the players that are there and weigh out what we can get in the trade back if there's an option as a trade back and just compare that and weigh those things out. So we'll have all those conversations prior to the draft leading up to it and make the right decision for the team on the clock. But I always feel like I need to say that sometimes you want to do it and it makes sense, but it's not like on the draft simulator when you can just force the trades and do what you want. You know, this is real life where you have to, but that is something that obviously we'll consider.
He said, quit tweeting your mock drafts to our digital team. Well, nobody cares.
That's what's funny to me is I see these guys, and I like Mr. Yo is one of our best listeners, and he tweeted me his mock draft earlier, and he's got Mike Green at 15, James Pierce at 46, Deion Walker at 118. Two of those guys could be taken in the first 25 picks.
Yeah.
So it's like these simulators, there's no perfection. You never know. It just proves you never know how it's going to play out. You know, I'm going I think there's – I love the philosophy of not reaching for need. And I'm having a conversation with a guy with TJ on Twitter right now, and he said he can't watch the draft tonight because the Falcons are going to botch it. And I said, well, in all fairness
– Oh, man.
I said, all fairness, in your opinion, knowing what you know now, all right, what's the last draft pick in the first round the Falcons botched? And he brings up, well, they got offensive players and they need defense players. Okay, well, that's great. He goes, they draft Penix last year. Well, the Penix could save that pick could save the franchise for the next 10 years, now knowing what we know now. So I understand that this team hasn't gotten it done, but the reality is the first round they've been pretty good.
Yeah.
And that because they haven't reached for need. Now, some people, though, think that they have reached in for positions in the second round, like Troy Anderson.
Yeah.
You know, like Rook last year, although it's not fair to Rook because he's had 1 year. So I think the biggest thing for me is how aggressive Terry's going to be tonight in trading up. That's going to be it. He's right. You know, everyone wants to trade down because it sounds, we'll just trade back and get picks. But do you get the value? Does a team want to trade up for a guy that maybe you want, that you know that you have high? Well, there's just so many things that go in. And also, you're not dealing with a computer. You're dealing with human beings who have emotions and egos and pride, and that hampers getting deals done.
I also think that there's this thing where if you're trading up in the draft, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you pay just as much of attention to it as anybody, but a lot of times when you have trade-up situations, it almost always has to be where a team wants to jump in front of another team and take a quarterback. Like 9 times out of 10 in the first round, when you're dealing with trade-up scenarios, it's a quarterback, let's just say for the Falcons, it'd be a quarterback-needy team at 16 and maybe the Steelers back at 21. Now, Arizona's after you. They don't need a quarterback. Cincinnati's after you. They don't need a quarterback. New York would be at 18. So there, that you could dangle that out there. They, you know, I think they're mocked to having Jackson Dart. So if you dealt with a situation where Pittsburgh was looking at, hey, we fell in love with Jackson Dart or some other situation, maybe it's Shadur, I don't know, and they want to jump up to 15 to make sure they're in front of the New York Giants, that's the kind of situation you are mapping out if you're Terry Fontenot.
I disagree slightly. I think it's the quarterback is a good call because it's a need. It's a position that is the one that you're willing to go up for need because of how much you put in evaluation. But any team that's that's drafting for need instead of BPA is a candidate to draft up, I think, or trade up. Excuse me. That's you know like the Falcons have done that. Tack McKinley, because Tack was brought up in one of the tweets I was tweeting with. He's like, well, Tack McKinley. I said, well, that's a different regime, but that's a definition of drafting for need over best player available.
Right.
And that was the guy that you thought was the next be all end all. Come to find out, you could have stayed put and got T.J. Watt, who was the next be-all, end-all.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when you draft for need. You're willing to trade up. That's why I think if they traded up, it would be for an Abdul Carter, a Travis Hunter, or Jalen Walker, because to me, all three of those have the chance to be my favorite, quote, air quote, generational player.
You can't have a generational player every year. That doesn't make sense. According to one Squid Billy, man.
You can't.
Can't have him every year.
You can't. But Travis Hunter is the definition of a generational prospect as far as projection.
Yeah. I'm so curious to do, and Lord knows, we don't even have enough time probably to talk about this segment, but I'm so curious what the Browns are going to do. And I have heard numerous times over the last couple of days that Jacksonville is the team to watch in terms of trying to jump up and grab a Travis Hunter at 2. So Cleveland seems cool to stand pat. They've got a bunch of picks, but a lot of signs pointing to the fact that Jacksonville and their new regime willing to make a little noise, make a little splash here in year one for them, man. So that's going to be interesting to watch. Hey, we come back. We're going to do a little bit in the huddle and look around the NFL. We're also going to talk about the possibility that Kirk Cousins could be on the move over the next couple of days. Terry Fontenot was asked about it yesterday. Don't want to miss that sound. Stick with us here. It's Mike and Squid, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
We'll see. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You never know. A big part of this is going into these weeks, there are a lot of phone calls with me and other GMs and also with our entire staff, the pro staff of looking at surplus and looking at and where there's needs in other areas. And then so there's always in-draft trades. There's also after the draft, depending on what happens, things really shift. So with Kirk or anybody else, I couldn't really anticipate that right now. It just depends. But that's a big part of it, communicating with teams and looking at where they are and how this draft is going to affect their needs.
Woo, that's Terry Fontenot talking about whether or not you're going to see Kirk Cousins remain a part of this roster over the next couple of days. And obviously a lot has been made about the draft, before the draft, after the draft, what's the future of Kirk Cousins, and that'll be interesting to watch that fallout. It is the morning shift. Mike Johnson, Squid Billy, Bo Morgan, the NFL draft, 12 hours and 36 minutes away, according to the countdown clock. So we're keeping it plugged in, man, having a lot of fun here on this Thursday morning.
We're having fun. It's Merry Draft Day.
Merry Draftmas.
Merry Draft Day, Merry Dylan. You killed it.
Oh, my God!
I gotta give Dylan credit. The music has been on point. This is what I mean when I want morning show music. Yeah. I know there was some confusion yesterday. This is energy, man. I want energy. I don't want Chicago's jazz crap playing. I want energy. I want to get pumped up.
To Dylan's credit, though, and again, we'll get to this Kirk conversation. To Dylan's credit, it's hard to find always like the 15-second window of the song that's rowdy. I've told you guys before, my alarm for years, was Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson. Now, if you just put, yes, my alarm for years was Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson. If you just played the beginning of that song, you'd probably fall right back asleep. All right, but by about midway through that song, you're like, yeah.
That's true.
Like, yeah.
When you get midway through, it's inspirational.
Matter of fact, to make the change. You know, you're like, yeah, I'm getting up today. Boy, I'm doing something big today. I don't know what it is. I'm doing something big. Maybe it's trading Kirk Cousins. I don't know.
Look, that's the thing for me is that's why it doesn't have to be our favorite song. It's just got to have some energy, man. It's just got to have something to it. That's what I feed off of, because I get excited as we come back from break when there's just like some hard pumping music. It doesn't matter what genre it's from either.
Yeah.
As long as it's high energy, it gets me kind of excited because I woke up this morning groggy. There was an interruption in my sleep last night. I got 2 hours in, and then, you know, it was up for 45 minutes with pork chop. And so I was a little groggy this morning, but as this show started, you know, the realization that it is draft day. This is Merry Draft Day, I say, because it's just like essentially this is Christmas for the NFL fan.
Oh, my God!
And I'm excited, dude. I am pumped. I'm ready to go, and the music's kept me going. I'm not losing my energy. It's going to be a long day for me.
Pork Chop's
got an appointment right after the show. I got to do the draft show tonight down in Mercedes-Benz Stadium with Arch, Wes, and Mike Conti from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. There's a lot going on. I need energy all day long.
I'll just tell you this, Bo. There's more where that came from, partner.
I got you, buddy. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Real quick before we go in the huddle, Bo, and we got a lot to talk about Kirk Cousins when we do go in the huddle, but just simply your expectations that he's part of this roster. I fully expect, in my opinion, I fully expect us to get all the way through this thing and Kirk Cousins still be a part of this team after this draft.
Oh, yeah. I've thought that Kirk pretty much said that he wasn't going to approve a trade.
He said he wouldn't approve one before the first round. I don't think he'll approve one. I think we're still weeks or months away.
I do too. And my favorite thing is every time the Falcons, pretty much anybody, it's not a, you know, anybody in the front office, coaching staff, talks to the media, and the question comes, and they're like, what's the plan with Kirk Cousins? We're going to do, as we've said all along, whatever is in the best interest for the team and the organization. From Arthur to Terry to Ra to whoever's talking. And then there's always, like, people feel the need to tweet it, like, Terry Fontenot said this. Like, yeah, they've said that. Why are you surprised? For once, we've got a team doing what they've said they're going to do and sticking to it. And it's kind of been refreshing, even though it's a crappy situation, but it's been refreshing the way they've stuck to their guns.
Yeah. Look, a lot of y'all already view Kirk Cousins as a villain. I got a slight conspiracy theory that we need to talk about. Let's go in the huddle. Well, if you're following the Kirk Cousins saga, I got to start with the cut from the New Orleans Saints general manager, and that's Mickey Loomis. And yesterday, he was asked about their quarterback situation and what the future is for Derek Carr.
The question is about Derek Carr. He doesn't have an issue with his shoulder. We're hoping to get some resolution and clarity on that in the near future. When we do, I'll report back to you. Otherwise, I don't have anything more.
Yeah, otherwise, I don't have anything more. I think just addressing the Derek Carr situation, I think that there's a number of different ways to go with this. It's interesting to me, and we talked to Mike Dettillier last week, Bo, and Mike Dettillier was saying that a lot of this is coming out from Derek Carr's camp. Like, this is kind of taking the Saints off guard. Derek Carr seemingly not wanting to get what you would call Michael Penixed. I don't know what the future is for Derek Carr in New Orleans. I just know that the situation does not seem to be very good right now.
Yeah, the Derek Carr one would be more like a Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers one to me than Penix. Not like he signed and then like 2 months after signing or a month and a half after signing, he had a guy come in. But, yeah, it's similar to Kirk Cousins where all the stuff that's coming out is coming from the quarterback's agent and not necessarily even the quarterback. You know, I like Derek Carr as a human being, as a player. I think he was good in with the Raiders, and he's not had a good stint with the Saints. But I don't want him to have a good stint with the Saints personally. I don't care.
Yeah,
that's their problem. Oh, tough luck, New Orleans. Who cares?
Yeah, it is a little bit of tough luck. Now I do want to look. Let's bring this home here. And I talked about a conspiracy theory. There was a tweet yesterday from Sleeper, which is it's an app. That came from Tony Pauline, who's with Sportskeeda, and he says the Atlanta Falcons would be willing to trade quarterback Kirk Cousins to the division rival Saints if New Orleans is the highest bidder for the quarterback. Now, we got a chance to visit last week with Mike Dettillier, and I just straight up asked him, man, is quarterback going to be the pick?
They're not picking a quarterback at 9. I'd be shocked at that. I mean, but it'd be the most Saints thing to do, though. But I don't think that you could pick a quarterback at 9. I do think the Saints made efforts to try to move up to get the first overall pick with the Tennessee Titans. I have no doubt of that. I don't think they, could piece enough package-wise to get up to the number one spot to pick Cam Ward. But, I've been told by people I think that would know that he's the only quarterback they have with a first-round pick grade. So if that's the case, they're not going to pick a quarterback at 9.
Now, I think the Saints, Bo, have multiple options. You roll with what you've got. They've got Spencer Rattler. I know that they think highly of him. He said, Mike Tillia says they don't have a first-round grade on anybody other than Cam Ward. Doesn't mean you can't find one in the second, right? Doesn't mean you can't find one at any point.
First off, it's not surprising the Saints don't have a big enough package to trade up to number one. But second off, I would say that doesn't mean that they won't trade back in the first round late for a Jackson Dart type player.
I don't even know if I can hit you with a pause because I know you meant to, but nonetheless, out of pocket. The Tony Pauline.
It's never out of pocket when it's the Saints.
Yeah, the Tony Pauline stuff. Like I said, a lot of you guys have Kirk Cousins as a villain right now. Oh. Just imagine if he goes over there. There's just no way.
Well,
Tony Pauline, and we love Tony. Friend of the show, Tony Pauline. There ain't no way, even with Terry Fontenot's connections down in New Orleans, there is no way that you are giving them a starting quarterback.
Here's the thing. There's so many
Walk
layers
Walk into your
to
trap,
this.
Take over your trap.
Not only do you make the trade, but Kirk would have to approve it.
That's true.
And so the fan base would get that. They'd be like, well, he wanted to go there because he approved it. And then you've got – then you've got the whole thing where, so what happens when Kirk Cousins has, that day where it's out of pocket, he feels like he's 28 again, and he goes 33 of 40 for 420,
Bro.
3 touchdowns, no picks, and you beat the Falcons in Mercedes-Benz Stadium where he Bro. Does walk in our trap and take over our trap, which used to be his trap. Dude, no, man, it just – I think it's tough. And I don't – again, how's that best for the team? That goes against what Terry says.
Yeah, it definitely does. And look, like I said, I don't have any expectations. To me, by the end of the weekend and for the coming weeks and months, Kirk Cousins will be part of this roster. I think you have to have a situation where a team gets done with the draft and goes, oh, man, we did not think we would get, we didn't think we'd be here. And so that'll be fun. Hey, 404-726-0929. We get to the top of the hour, 8 o'clock. We'll have the wake-up call. Fill in the blank here. All right. The Atlanta Falcons draft blank. They will win the Super Bowl in the next three seasons. If they draft blank, they will win the Super Bowl in the next three seasons. Tell us who Terry Fontenot should have at the top of his board. Look, we're going to go to break. We're going to come back. I do have a draft story. Believe it or not, I was drafted by the Atlanta Falcons. I'll do that for a Mic'd Up. And also, we've talked a little bit about the Steelers and the Browns possibly being in. There was a third team mentioned by Diana Russini yesterday that kind of caught me off guard. We'll get to that next as well. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift. Mike, Squidbilly, Dylon, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Change your ways, baby. Change your ways, Atlanta Falcons. Merry Draftmas. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. That is, that dude, that's such a good, I'm telling y'all, life advice here. It's a great alarm clock song. Just telling you. By the time it gets to end, you'll be snapping, going, yeah. Na, 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 na. Yeah. Feel all the vibes, man. Squid's already bobbing his head. He don't even want to admit it. He's already bobbing his head. It is.
Hey, look, man. I know this isn't a shock to anybody, but I love when I look at, when I see the man in the mirror, man. Yeah. I mean, I love what I see. I mean, maybe not the best looking, but I just know that he, you know, he's a baller, a shot caller.
Is that what?
He's got 22-inch blades.
Golly,
on his Z71.
Right. This is Michael Jackson moment.
And now he's a
got
papa, too.
Tonight.
Yeah. Now you can call him Big Papa. Big Papa Squid.
There
Swish
you go.
Your old tight.
Oh, man. Anybody that was tuned in 30 seconds ago is now turning their dial.
Hey, real quick. I know it's draft day. Austin, who is – I call Austin one of my negative Twitter followers because him and I always go back and forth. But he's like, realistic, they're going to draft wide receiver Luther Burden or Will Johnson, the DB. Pass rusher makes too much sense, so I fully expect them not to draft that. First off, most people don't have Luther Burden right now in the first round. And I just wrote back, I go, well, they'd draft Tyler Warren before they draft Luther Burden.
I was going to say, what's the – is it Loveland that's the other tight end?
Colston,
that would
Loveland.
Be – dude, no thanks.
But I did respond to him this, and I think this is, again, something that I'm continuing to say today because I'm trying to – look – I want to be real to y'all. I don't want to set you up for unreal expectations. There's a really good chance they do draft Will Johnson or Jahdae Barron.
Yeah.
Okay? There is a really good chance. But let's not forget this. They need playmakers everywhere on defense, and those are the two best cornerbacks other than Travis Hunter in the draft. So we can't be upset because they need another DB, another corner, excuse me, a safety, a versatile linebacker inside, an edge rusher, an interior defensive lineman. They need all of those. So if they take any of them, guys, I don't know how we can be upset.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And cornerback is the one position, and we're going to get to their Diana Russini in just a second. Cornerback is the one position, Bo, that I have trouble piecing in the draft. You look at the draft overall. The most coveted people are usually the ones that make the most money on their second contract. Quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher. But you get to corner, and a lot of times corners are so hard to find, good ones. They're so coveted, they'll make a lot of money as well. They're kind of in that scenario where if you can get a good corner, he does go top 10, but there's almost always like a drop-off after that. You know, you'll have the A.J. Terrells of the world. And then a lot of times you get past that, and it's like, man. And Mike Hughes has been great for us, but don't forget that Mike Hughes was the third overall pick who at one point was a bust, right? We had Jeff Okuda a couple years ago. He's on his third NFL team. So you have those scenarios where it's like, I don't even know how to piece cornerback half the time on rosters in the draft.
The funny thing about that, the draft that AJ came in was his 2020 draft. Jeff Okuda, who you just mentioned, was the third player selected in that draft.
Yes.
The top cornerback. The next cornerback was C.J. Henderson out of Florida at 9.
Yep.
And then you go to A.J. Terrell at 16. And then you go to Damon Arnett at 19. Arnett's been a pretty good player. And then you have
Igbenogany. Noah Igbenogany.
And Jeff Gladney. Am I wrong that A.J. Terrell has been the best cornerback
That's my
that
point.
Group?
That's my point with this conversation. I want to get to a Terry Fontenot cut because he talks about this a little bit. But that's my point about the cornerback position. And it's not like it's any more hit or miss. I just have trouble understanding what the value of it is. in the first round. You have years where it's like quarterback. Like you're going to see seven go off the board in the top 20. And there's other years where you look at it and you go, it should technically be the third or fourth most coveted, behind quarterback and edge, third or fourth most coveted position on the field, but you don't always see the draft expectations line up with that. Here's Terry Fontenot talking about the vision for the roster, and the draft plans just had to fall into place.
It always comes down to that number one part, the vision, and working along with the coaches and working along with the staff and making sure we have a clear vision for what those players are and how they're going to fit with our team. You never want to, I feel like, anytime with anything, you get in trouble if you're desperate and you reach. And that's when I talk about taking the best player available for us, it's about taking impact players and making your team better. And when you get more hyper-focused on a specific need and a specific position, that's when you get yourself in trouble, Ken, truly. And that's not just these last four drafts. That's over 23 years, 24 years I've been in the league or whatever that is. That's when you can get yourself in trouble. If you just focus on having a clear vision for what they're going to be for you and taking good players, impact players, at whatever spot that is, that's when you can be more effective.
There is a term he just used. Having a clear vision of what they are going to be for you. Now, I'll give you credit, man. You've been all over this best player available for the years that I've known you and what it means and how there is a lack of understanding amongst NFL fans about what it's going to be. You have to have a vision, like he said, of what these guys are going to be for you, not what they are for anybody else and not how well they fit in scheme in college. If it is a guy like Shamar Stewart, who we all have questions about, and you look at his length, you look at what your scheme is going to be. You look at that, you know, Jeff Ulbrich's watching tape of how other teams are going to attack the Atlanta Falcons, and you feel like that he is the best player to fill that gap, to your point that you've been making now for over 2 years. Terry Fontenot is going to take the best player available for them.
Yeah. It's not Daniel Jeremiah's board or Mel Kiper's board or name the draft guru that you've heard on the radio station or on ESPN, NFL Network, CBS Sports HQ, whatever, you know, you're viewing, wherever you view your sports. It's theirs. And it goes in line with that's why you hear collaborative effort. See, that's why you hear those kind of terms, because you don't want a GM drafting the players that he and the scouts like that don't fit the system that your coaching staff wants to run. But that said, if a coaching staff comes in with players drafted, they need to use them the way to their best ability. I'm not saying that, but I just think that when we look at it, we fall in love with players because we hear guys talk about them or we watched them play on Saturdays. And we don't take into account all of those things. And then there's the human being element.
Yeah.
What kind of teammate is he? What kind of human being is he?
People tend to forget that these are actual human beings. They're not fantasy players, that they actually have to interact with one another and understand and learn.
And is it a situation where, you know, you go back to the oldest story is Brett Favre being traded out of Atlanta to Green Bay, and Jerry Glanville was on Dukes and Bell like 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, talking about how he was, I think it was on Dukes and Bell, but how he was a guy that, you know, Favre, he's like, he couldn't stay out of the bars. I had to trade him somewhere where he couldn't get in trouble. And I think a lot of it, Jalen Carter to me is a very similar story. You couldn't draft him in a city that was 35 minutes from Athens, you know, which would have been Flowery Branch where he would spend every day.
Yeah.
Because he needed to be out of that environment with some people that could help him, and it was the perfect storm for Howie Roseman. Also, how the hell does Howie Roseman have 30 picks every year?
He's operating in a completely different way. I got to get to Diana Rossini real quick before we get to mic'd up. She had a tweet yesterday. I don't understand this tweet to an extent because it kind of contradicts itself. The tweet itself reads, "The Steelers, Browns, and possibly Vikings could be involved in a trade involving Kirk Cousins. Sources say Minnesota is looked at as the least likely scenario given their preference to favor J.J. McCarthy, and Cousins would need to sign off on any deal." But the excerpt in the image says, "It is believed that Cousins would be against any trade that involves sending him to a situation involving a young quarterback, similar to the one he faced last year." Two things on this. He ain't going to Minnesota. Second of all, Kirk Cousins probably going to have to swallow a little bit of pride if he's not going to be in Atlanta, dude, because almost every situation now involves another quarterback. There's not a situation, and that's why we brought up New Orleans earlier, but that's not likely either. There's not a situation where you look at it and go, well, they're going to hand him the keys to the car. That's just not out there right now for him. Not right now, anyways.
Look, the Rossini thing, I said this a few weeks ago. When I can't remember, we were on, and Rossini came out with this Browns is what I'm hearing. Well, who are you hearing it from? Because the person I hear the most trade rumors about Kirk Cousins from is Diana Rossini.
Yeah.
And none of it's been accurate.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but it's not.
You know,
it's just like the guy that came out before the weekend before legal tampering started, or the negotiating window, is like, he'll be in Cleveland by the end of the weekend.
Yep.
Well, that played out.
Yep.
So there's just so much that you don't. Everybody has a source, and they throw. It is, you know, Dave Archer's used this. It's like in the zoo. When the animals throw feces at the glass window, and that's what reporters are doing just to see if it sticks.
Yeah, I had such a good tease for Mic'd Up in my draft story. You threw me completely for a loop right there. So let's just get to it.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me.
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up
on the Morning Shift.
Oh, the imagery in my head of the monkeys at the zoo right now. Just a reminder, today's Mic'd Up is brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. They also, look, man, you can order online. Make sure you hit buffaloscafe.com and get those wings lined up, because you'll be glued to the couch tonight to see, or at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, to see who the Atlanta Falcons are going to take in the draft. Believe it or not, one time, at one point in my life, this is now 16 years ago, in April of 2010, I was drafted, 15 years ago, I was drafted to the Atlanta Falcons. I have a story that I still can't believe how it ended up. Now, I had a 3rd to 5th draft grade. I was understanding of the fact that it was going to be 3rd to 5th. All right, everything my agent was telling me, shout out Pat Dye Jr., I know he's in Buckhead somewhere living it up. Everything my agent was telling me at the time was, you're a 3rd to 5th. I'm fine with that. I understand that. I wanted to be a developmental player. I was known as a guy who'd come in and work. I could run block. Still need to work on the hands and pass protection, other things like that. So the way the draft is structured, you get first round on Thursday night. This is one of the first years you got the draft on the first round on Thursday night. And then you have second and third on a Friday. I didn't want a draft party. My parents, or my mom in particular, decided, I'm just going to invite a couple people over on Friday. I was like, dude, I do not want this. I do not want anybody at my house on Friday, because I do not know that I am being drafted on a Friday. And to me, I don't want to have to stand and wave bye to people in the driveway as they are saying, hey, good luck tomorrow. You know what I mean? I don't need those vibes, okay? This is the most stressful couple of days of my life up until that point. I don't need to be like, sorry, I didn't get drafted tonight. Sorry to disappoint you. All right, but nonetheless, you know how moms work, dude.
Did any part of you like think about just retreating to a safe space?
I did. So that... perfect setup for the end of this story. People start coming over my house. I'm like, Mom, what's going on? Well, I invited your aunt. Well, I invited your cousin. Okay, I don't want to be around people. So what did I do? Went upstairs to what at the time became like an office. It used to be my bedroom when I lived there, and at the time was an office, right? There was like a couch and a TV and a desk and everything else. So I go upstairs. I'm sitting there. We're at the end of Friday night. The very end of Friday night, I'm on the phone, texting, I'm going, well, you know, tomorrow will be a good day. Hopefully, I'll hear my name called tomorrow. Sure enough, dude, the very, very last pick of Friday night. I'm like, okay, final teams on the clock, Falcons. I had visited Flowery Branch, but I didn't think they were going to take me. Phone starts ringing, 770 number, Flowery Branch, Georgia. And I'm like, wait a second. Answer the phone, get a chance to talk to... who I believe at the time, don't quote me on this, I'm pretty sure the guy who called me was Les Snead. Auburn grad Les Snead, who I know stood on the table for me in the draft room. Shout out to him. Ended up talking to, obviously, Coach Smith and Thomas Dimitroff and Arthur Blank. Still a night that I'll never forget, but the fact that I was the last pick on Friday night still shakes me to my core. I was like, dude, the amount of disappointment in everybody's face. I don't want to go downstairs, man. I don't want to go downstairs and face everybody and know that I didn't get picked tonight and I upset everybody. But I wasn't upset personally. I was upset that everybody came. But nonetheless, man, it all worked out good. Here I am in Atlanta, all these years later, 15 years later, man, living the dream.
You know what's funny is the brain trust of the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
Is from Eufaula, Alabama.
I know, dude.
And Brookhaven, Georgia.
Yeah.
I know that technically McVay was born in Ohio, but he's a Georgia guy.
They both look Hollywood, too. Like, at this point, they both look Hollywood. You're like, those guys look like they're from California.
They actually have a very similar look.
Yeah.
They look like two guys that didn't grow up in Hollywood but transitioned to Hollywood.
I love it. All right, man, we got to go to break. Wake up call on the other side, 404-726-0929. I threw it out a minute ago. All right, fill it in. Fill in the blank. All right, if the Falcons draft blank, they will win a Super Bowl in the next 3 years. If they draft blank, they will win a Super Bowl in the next 3 years. You can also hit us up on the show socials at 929 Morning Shift, at SquidBilly929, at MPJohnson79. Let us know what you think. It's the Morning Shift. We are 12 hours and 4 minutes away from the NFL draft. Stick with us here on Sports Radio 929 The Game.